Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Joa,
and Jay Noon.
And tonight we have a lot of different stuff to talk about from all over the world. I have a bunch of stories that are from about different countries. But I wanted to start off this one that's about free speech and how there isn't any such thing in Russia. Because we're equal opportunity government haters here, and I don't like the government of Russia any more than I like the government of Ukraine or the United States or Israel.
They're all bad.
And I wanted to talk about this woman who's looking at 8 years in jail for a protest she did that was an anti-war protest in Russia. It says, Russian artist who staged an anti-war supermarket protest faces 8 years in jail. It says, a female artist who staged a protest against Moscow's war in Ukraine by replacing supermarket price tags with trenchant calls to stop the conflict is facing 8 years in a penal colony after a court hearing on Wednesday. Do you guys know what penal colony means?
Well, from like movies and stuff, it's basically like this place that, you know, is a few acres and it's surrounded by like, you know, a 20-foot razor wire fence and guards, and pretty much you just kind of in like a general population with a bunch of people.
That's basically what it says here when I went to
for stickers. So
what?
She put stickers on?
Well, she changed the price tags to say something. Not sure what they are yet.
I mean, at best, it's maybe vandalism.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. Vandalism would mean that it's not easily removable, right?
Yeah, but, because like chalking a sidewalk isn't vandalism.
Right.
Well, I think this has nothing to do with that. Just, talking bad about the war is illegal there.
Yep.
There's just not free speech there.
She also did do it on, like, private property, right? So this is, like, a store. It's private property, private, you know, establishment. She probably should have chose something that was more government-oriented to protest on.
Even then, who knows if their laws protect speech on government property either.
True.
It says Alexandra Skochilenko, 33, an artist and musician known to her friends as Sasha, carried out the protest on March 31st, 2022. Whoa, that was forever ago, but you're just now hearing about it. She's probably just been held this whole time. I don't know. Replacing price tags in a supermarket in St. Petersburg, Russia's second city, with five little pieces of paper urging to an end to what Moscow calls a special military operation. This says, yeah, it's November 8th, 2023. I was making sure it wasn't like something old that pops up on antiwar.com. Maybe she's just been held there this whole time. And I don't know what it means by Russia's second city, unless it means second largest.
Okay, yeah.
It says, Alexander Gladyshev, a state prosecutor on Wednesday asked a judge in St. Petersburg to jail her for 8 years and ban her from using the internet for 3 years, according to a statement from St. Petersburg.
She wasn't using the internet when she did this.
I wonder why that hasn't.
Yeah,
because the internet is how people communicate, and they obviously, you know, so the prosecutors are like the prosecutors here in the States. You know, just, you know, it's all government's bad, it's like you guys said. And so these prosecutors don't care about morality or what's right or wrong or, you know, if there's a victim or if there's an injured party. They just care about getting, you know, prosecuting cases because that's how they climb up the corporate ladder. That's how they get more money. And actually, another thing that's happening here is with these prosecutors and why they're so aggressive on their prosecution of just anybody, especially like here in the States, for whatever possible reason they can, is because there's certain like federal incentives. So like the child enforcement, child endangerment statute here in New Hampshire. And I'm actually trying to figure out sort of how I can present this to, say, a jury or to somebody, even, you know, the state legislature. There was a newspaper article I read where a woman was charged with child welfare endangerment because she left her three kids in the car while the car was running, air conditioning on. So it was like a two-year-old, a four-year-old, and a nine-year-old all left in the car, and a two-year-old, four-year-old in their car seats, and a nine-year-old just there hanging out. And I mean, when I was 9 years old, I was left with my younger brothers all the time.
I was too. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. I was left with my younger brothers, or brother and sister, and I'd be nine, and we'd be in the parking lot. My parents would be in like Walmart, or my mom would be in like Walmart or whatever, and they would just be like, I'm not taking you guys in. You guys have been bad today, so wait here. And right. It was fine.
So anyways, in this newspaper article that I had come across, you know, searching this stuff, they said, and this was Portsmouth, New Hampshire, where it happened, is they said that the federal government gives basically money to enforce these types of laws, like the child welfare endangerment law was somehow given a subsidy from the government. So. I know that some of these subsidies that come was like, for example, one that comes directly out of the Social Security fund and goes into the judicial pension fund at a state level is when family court awards child support. 66% of that child support, whatever, say a child support's $1,000 a week a dad has to pay. And that's not unheard of. There's more $1,000 a month, but let's say it's $1,000. $660 comes then from the Social Security Administration every month or every time this child support is done and goes directly into the judicial pension fund for whichever state the judge is doing that. So this other money that is the federal government is giving, this is from like the Child Safe Act that was done in like 97 with the Clintons. And Hillary Clinton was, you know, is quoted as being very proud of her Child Safe Act, which gives all kinds of money from the Social Security fund to the states via Child Protection Services. Well, this child endangerment, welfare endangerment statute, the newspaper article said that it was basically federal money. So I don't know where the federal money goes. Does it go to the police department? Does it go to the police officer's pension? Does it go to the judicial pension fund? Does it go to the judiciary? Does it go to the general fund of the state? Because all of that is an incentive that creates this, you know, what is it? Conflict of interest, you know, in these courts with, you know, these cops and these lawyers. And let's not forget the prosecutor draws from the judicial pension fund. The judge draws from the judicial pension fund, you know, when they retire and they want that thing to be valuable. And the way and same thing with all the social workers, they all draw from like some state pension fund. And this is why that there's a class at Granite State University that essentially teaches DCYF social workers how to maximize revenue for DCYF.
Wow.
I can't remember what the class is called off the top of my head, but
safety protection class.
It's basically how to maximize revenue for DCYF by getting all of these federal incentives and doing these assessments and like taking kids. So each time that like they do an assessment where they go in and like interview a child, they get like almost $6,000 or right around $6,000 from the federal government goes into the DCYF fund. I'm pretty sure some of that goes into their pensions. In fact, I was having a conversation with a friend the other day, and she was talking about how infrastructure is so horrible, and there's basically no money left over for any infrastructure when the taxes are collected, because such a huge portion of your taxes that are collected first go to pay off pensions.
Like pensions are just like, government ones.
Government and worker pensions. So the pensions are serviced first, and what we got to understand is a lot of these pension agreements and pension funds, which just because you're a landowner doesn't mean you're responsible for the pension of state employees, but yet you're paying all these taxes. But these pension funds, a lot of them are guaranteed to like mature at like 3%, 4%. I forget what city it is, but there is a couple of major cities. It might be Manchester and or Concord, but I could be wrong.
Was that, is that adjusted for inflation?
No, it's just a guaranteed return of 8% to the pension. And if the pension doesn't make the 8%, for example, or whatever the guaranteed return, let's say 8%, because there's a couple of cities that use 8%, which is a huge number, because that's hundreds of millions of dollars, these pension funds. And what happens is the taxpayers must pony up the percentage that it doesn't make over 8%. So if the pension fund only matures 2%, then the taxpayers got to kick in a 6% on top of all of this pension fund they're funding already, because they have all these employees working for them. So the idea is these government agencies have to constantly grow. This is one of the elements of this, you know, maximizing revenue, because all of these state employees, and my aunt, who's worked for the state of Massachusetts for years, Department of Education, told me the same exact thing. These state employees all understand in order for their pension to be worthwhile and for them to collect a pension, they need to basically, for when they retire, they need to have four or five people replacing them. So because it's a pyramid scheme, the pension fund.
Yeah.
And so what happens is these pensions become so much of the actual tax base, there's no money left over for fixing roads and bridges and infrastructure and, you know, things that, like, most people think that their taxes are paying for. It's kind of like donating to, like, you know, some Feed the Children in Africa, you know, nonprofit that, you know, the CEO makes like several hundred thousand dollars a year. And, you know, you donate $10 to Sally Struthers or whoever. You remember those commercials? And,
yeah.
You know, and 10 cents gets to the kid starving to death in Africa, or 1 cent does out of the $10. It's kind of the same thing's happening with government, because most of the money is going towards pension funds that are guaranteed to go up that the taxpayers have to fund. And let's not forget, who operates government pension funds? Most likely in the financial world, from what I understand, a bunch of rookies out of college.
Yeah.
A bunch of people who don't know what they're doing. A rookie?
Well, yeah. Why are people out of college running the pension fund?
Because that's how they get their first job, usually, is running a government pension fund, because just like everyone else in government, it's they essentially have a government job because they're basically lack confidence, or they're virtually have no skills, or they're useless in the real marketplace.
They like welfare.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with any government employee is usually in that particular industry is the lowest of the low when it comes to like production, you know, intelligence and like, or well, not so much. You can be smart and lazy, but generally most government actors are there because they're lazy. They want an easy paycheck, that golden parachute retirement fund and whatnot.
And if you've ever dealt with a government worker, like you have to get something done and you have to go through the government to do it, you will immediately find out that they're lazy. They're not interested in helping you or getting anything done quickly. Oh, my God. When I lived on a military base.
Like a DMV.
Yep. They're bad. So they can get worse, though.
The same type of people are essentially, from what I understand, running the government pension funds. And this was just something that was told to me by a good friend of mine who like majored in finance. And right now he's operating an excavator. As a construction worker, you know, making about $5,000 a week. He goes and works these union jobs like 80 hours a week, and he makes a lot of money. But he went to school for financial, and he started like working in one of these financial institutions in New York City in like 2007 or 8, and it was like right before it all fell apart. And he's like, "This is a scam. I can't do this." But one of the first gigs that he got was working basically for a pension fund that managed like a New York City pension fund.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he was the one who told me, "Is like, yeah, there's so much money getting dumped into these pension funds are like black holes, and a lot of them are just losing, but because." The taxpayers are essentially, you know, held at gunpoint, because if you don't pay taxes, men with guns show up and they'll shoot you.
I feel like a lot of times when it comes to not just the cops, but like in general, government employees, they tend to retire right when they're being investigated too. So like they don't get, there's no consequences. So investigated for this. Oh, former officer. It's always former officer. It's like he had time to retire. So he collects his pension.
Same thing with a lot of these, like, CEOs and, you know, executives in, like, big major corporations like Enron, for example. So many people lost their entire life savings because of the Enron debacle. And pretty much everybody that was involved in stealing all those people's money in Enron, they all got... they're like, yeah, I quit, and they get like a, you know, $10 million severance package, and they've been making like multiple million dollars per year, and they're like, oh, I resign, you know, I'm no longer part of that. So, and they're like, nobody goes after them, nobody stays after school for, you know, detention, nobody, you know, nobody goes to jail, nobody gets a fine against them, and these guys just walk away scot-free. And you're going to see this if we, like, in 2008, this happened with a whole bunch of the banks. They all got bailed out. Like, it was like almost a trillion. It was like 800 and something billion dollars. It was a TARP, which was a tarnished asset. Nah, I can't remember what the TARP acronym for, but this was like a Bush-Obama thing. Bush was going out, Obama was coming in. And the amount of money that the banks got in bailouts could have literally paid off every single homeowner's mortgage in the country.
Wow.
And, like, nobody's mortgage got paid off. Nobody got any help. Just the banks got all of this money injected into them. And the people, the higher ups in the bank, you know, all these executives got all kinds of bonuses, and they just left.
Of course, they did.
The Big Short kind of talks about that a little bit, but yeah,
I totally understand what you're saying, though. It's just basically these prosecutors have incentives to go after people way harder than you would even think that they would need to, and it always seems like they really are doing, like, you know, performatively. Bad and evil things in order to get somebody convicted of things.
Yep.
In the United States, at least, and I'm pretty sure it's just as bad.
Make good people examples, and make, and the bad people is typically them or their friends. So they kind of brush that stuff under the rug.
And if there is incentives for them to prosecute specific crimes, it would make totally make sense to me. Like, oh, we're going to have more money put into our pension the more of these specific crimes we prosecute.
Or the more children we take and put in foster care, more parents we investigate. And now if we do more and more, now we can say, hey, we need to hire more people. And when you hire more people, it furthermore funds all these pensions. The same thing with the teachers. They got less kids in school now in New Hampshire, but yet they hire more teachers still.
Wow. I kind of want to hire, a company, private companies, that actually do the job, and then we'd be more likely to pay them again. Like, teachers are failing, so the government gives them more money.
And gives more of them jobs. But maybe it's the same thing in Russia with this person. It says, the prosecution had previously accused her of committing what it described as a serious crime out of political hatred towards the Russian Federation. And see, like, they kind of have to skirt around that kind of thing in the United States. They have to just be like, well, listen, you're free to believe that, but, and then they, like, try to make libertarians or people who don't agree with the United States government look bad in different ways. But in Russia, they can just straight up say, look, she hates the Russian Federation, and that's basically exactly why she needs to be found guilty of this crime, which is pretty crazy.
Just look at her.
And
guilty.
It's just, like, in my opinion, well, maybe, I did think, maybe they don't want her to go on the internet because she could incite people to be against the war.
What, is she going to change the prices on Amazon?
Yeah. It says, Skochilenko, who denies the charge, was detained on April 11, 2022, after a shopper complained about her action. Wow, so she was narked on, too.
Wow.
She is being tried on the charge of knowingly spreading fake information about the Russian army, an offense punishable in her case by up to 10 years, but which can sometimes lead to a 15-year jail term. Wow.
What?
So the prosecution isn't even asking for the full term. But still, she might get the same amount of time Ian got for, you know, the crap that they sent Ian to.
Yeah, but she just talked trash about the military and they sent her to jail?
I do really want to know what was written on the price tags, but it doesn't surprise me at all, like, that that's against the law in Russia.
Like, literally in the United States, we have this, I forget the exact case, off the top of the United States versus Mims or something like that, whereas, I can't say it on the air, which is ironic because the Supreme Court ruled this, that F the draft.
Oh, F.
Can't wear a shirt that says F the draft.
Wow.
Where? Huh? Where can't you wear it?
In court.
Oh.
Wait, so...
Well, actually, I think that came up a second time. So, like, I think he was on campus. The guy was holding a sign that said F the draft on campus.
So was it, did he write E-E-F or the four letters of that curse word?
Yeah, the four letters of the curse word.
So, You're saying that the Supreme Court ruled that that was constitutional, that he
yes.
got in trouble for that?
Yeah.
So then it's not ironic, I mean, that we can't say it on the air.
No. They found it constitutional that he could say. They could say. But I think it's ironic because, like, the, you know, what is the FCC is regulating this airwaves in the sense that we can't say it.
That would
even though Supreme Court ruled that this is a justified thing to say.
Yep, and I think that's messed up. Like, the thing is, I probably wouldn't really cuss on there anyway if I was allowed to, but I just don't because it's going to get us kicked off radio stations.
Right, but that's my point. But, like, if I just found, like, if I said the full F, the draft, if I said that fully out loud on the air right now and we got fined,
yeah.
I would bring the Supreme Court ruling into play saying we're not paying this fine.
Well, unfortunately, they wouldn't fine us, so you wouldn't be able
to
do
right.
that at all. They'd
right,
fine
right.
the radio stations.
Yeah, and then it's just aggravation for, you know,
yep,
the syndicate station.
Kick us off.
That's terrible.
It says, this woman, she's being charged on the charge of knowingly spreading fake information about the Russian army. I already read that. Russia tightened its laws on dissent soon after sending its troops into Ukraine on February 24th last year, deepening a crackdown on critics whom Moscow sees as unacceptably divisive at a time when the country is locked in what President Vladimir Putin has cast as an existential struggle with the West. And I lost it. Okay. Amnesty International has declared Skochelenko a prisoner of conscience, someone who has not used or advocated violence or hatred and is imprisoned solely because of who they are or what they believe.
Also known as political prisoner.
Right. And it's also just not fair because they're saying that she did this out of hatred towards the Russian Federation, and that is thought crime. You can't decide that someone hates the Russian Federation. I mean, I guess she might have written, I hate the Russian Federation, or whatever, on the price tags, but I didn't want to figure out what she said. It says, the artist smiled from a courtroom cage, they get left in cages in the courtroom, on Wednesday as she listened to proceedings, despite the prospect of facing a lengthy stint behind bars. She's probably a lesbian, like, other reason you wouldn't care. I could not go to jail and be with, like, all women all the time. That'd be terrible. Just, like, the worst kind of women as well. It's not like I hate women, but I don't want to see nothing but terrible women all day. It says, copies of the... Like, I'm just saying I wouldn't be smiling if they were talking about putting me in there for years. Copies of the imitation price tags, which got her into trouble in the first place, remain on display on a website maintained by her supporters lobbying for her to be freed. And it might have something to do with them asking for her to be taken off the internet.
I don't know how you can do that.
603-283-6160. Call in with your thoughts and opinions. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Following the U.S. airstrike in Syria, American troops have faced four separate attacks. Wednesday, F-15s targeted a weapons facility in Syria that's utilized by Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and affiliated groups. The subsequent day, the Pentagon confirmed at least four fresh assaults by Iranian-backed groups on U.S. bases in the Middle East. Israel has agreed to implement daily four-hour ceasefires in the conflict against Hamas in Gaza.
This should hopefully give some room for a few civilians, innocent civilians, to move. move out of places where there's heavy fighting going on.
White House Deputy Press Secretary Olivia Dalton described the agreement as a significant step. Next week, President Biden is anticipated to have a direct meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The leaders are set to talk during the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation event in San Francisco. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. Anyone can get on Free Talk Live and talk about whatever they want, except Skeeter from California. 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Joah,
and Jay.
And I wanted to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash, Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash instead with some handy websites. BitRefill.com has been accepting Dash for years and has a ton of big-name retailers and brands, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Plus, many of their gift cards are available at a discount. And what about paying your bills? Spritz.finance can do that, and they can send you dollars to your bank account in case you still need those for some reason. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. So moving on here, we have this story from, I don't even think I said, it's usnews.com, about this Russian artist who put these stickers, well, I guess they're pieces of paper, we haven't really heard exactly what they say or what they are, into where they have the price tags on things at a grocery store in Russia. And this was back in March of 2022, and she's been held this whole time. And she's facing 8 years now just for the crime of disseminating what they call...
Disagreeing.
Yeah, misinformation in Russia. And I think it's really messed up. I mean, it's obviously free speech. Not that they have any free speech laws there.
I feel like just their logic of spending money on putting her away, and it's just, do they really need to do that?
Well...
It's just such a waste.
If you want to build your pension, like I said, the prosecutors, they all have a financial incentive. And also to make an example of people, they, you know, a lot of these judges and prosecutors also invest in these, you know, contract companies that supply the prisons with, like, you know, the food, the toiletries, you know, remove the trash, the companies that provide the energy, the propane, the fuel, you know, whatever, you know, it takes, you know, and you know, it takes more, it costs more to house a prisoner in most places than it does to send someone to Harvard for a year.
Yeah.
So because it's very lucrative. Just, you know, and these same contractors are the same contractors who are also got the exclusive contracts to provide the hospitals with all their goods and, you know, things that they use and consumables. Disinformation, misinformation, I mean, the Biden administration has been all over this stuff for a long time now.
Yeah.
They had, you know, some lady, there was some wackadoo lady who, like, some kind of artist performer, libtard type that, you know, was the czar of, like, Office of Misinformation or Disinformation. There's all kinds of videos of her, like, singing and stuff. You know, she's actually a pretty good singer. But, like, and, of course, they're like, oh, constantly talk about it. We need to combat misinformation. So, and then look what they did to Alex Jones.
Yep.
They got, what, a half a trillion or a three-quarter trillion judgment against him for what, you know, they're claiming, you know, disinformation. They actually got a $52 million judgment against Eamon Bundy for, because there was a kid that, St. Luke's Hospital, which is some, like, children's hospital somewhere, wherever, I think he's in Utah or Nevada, I'm not even sure. But they participated in, you know, doing a medical kidnapping of a child called Baby Cyrus, and they to adopt it right out to another family, and there's a really a well put together documentary called Save Baby Cyrus. It's not that old. But Eamon Bundy was really big about getting, you know, his following to
protested the hospital, right?
Well, they protested the hospital, I guess. The hospital got all kinds of calls and emails and letters and, you know, how bad you are. So they go to some court and they just get a summary judgment against Eamon Bundy. Exactly. Just like this other summary judgment they just got against Trump, which is, you know, seems to be me like another wag the dog situation.
Is it another one about something he said?
They said that he misvalued the value of his properties, and they're trying to say like his properties are worth his really low amount. And they're ruling, the judge is like ruling that it's worth it. And the judge has like been public about being a Trump hater. That's on the case. I mean, this is one of these things too. When you're in front of a judge, like somebody needs to certify first off that this judge is actually like a, you know, he is, impartial.
Yeah.
So that means he doesn't vote if he's impartial. He's not a registered Republican. He's not a registered Democrat. If he takes a vaccine and wears a mask, he's not impartial. You know, and if he and then they're, you know, like the Trump and the judge in a Trump situation there is publicly, you know, quoted as saying, you know, bad, negative things, actually dislikes,
like,
Trump.
When I hear things like that, I'm just like, are all lawyers just this incompetent and stupid,
yes,
or are
absolutely.
They like in cahoots? Because you would think,
yes,
his lawyer,
yeah,
would
in cahoots.
They're evil.
Yeah. You would think that his lawyer would be able to get this judge thrown out. Like, look, he's clearly impartial because he has openly said he hates my client. So let's get him
for
thrown out.
For sure, a lawyer goes in their head like, all right, if I don't do what my client says, will I make more money? Okay, we'll do that. That's what it's in their head. They don't care.
Even this whole culture of everybody's relying on lawyers. Like, I actually just listened to a thing, Rob from Vermont, who calls in often, sent me a link today to a YouTube video of the New Hampshire House Family Law Committee. And this guy who's in the Family Law Committee, he introduces how, you know, we've gotten all these reports of these judges who control so much just on the fact that they can kick out any evidence they want. So what the New Hampshire House of Representatives, some people introduced a bill to, actually they've introduced a bill to reword the child endangerment law, which is going to be interesting because I think that's how we're going to find out
So the child endangerment law, best I can tell, is worded vaguely because that I just read a little thing that, like, under some United States code, this federal, you know, child endangerment law, it's basically the state one is worded the same way, and I'm pretty sure that's how they're getting the financial funding is by, you know, just like, for example, states get a big subsidy from the federal government for having a seatbelt law, and they also get money from departments in Massachusetts, get money from the state and the feds, from what I understand, for enforcing seatbelt laws and writing the seatbelt law tickets.
Sure.
But also, with the legislature is looking to basically add to the child and welfare endangerment charge that it resulted that some injury happened, some damage happened. You know, somebody was injured. You know, the baby was injured or something.
Because right now it basically just says you can get charged with child endangerment without the child ever having actually been in danger.
Right. So, like, for example, there are Amish people who have had their children taken away for letting the kids, you know, be in the fields with them, working alongside the horses.
Come on.
There are, yes, upstate New York. There is multiple cases where for doing, like, common farm and, like, rural activities, children have been taken away. There's a case that I found where a grandpa was watching his grandson and riding on the lawnmower, just mowing the yard. Somebody reported, cops came, they took the baby. I believe some southern state this was, Georgia maybe. But actually, you could YouTube search that, like, you know, for, like, doing, like, work and stuff and, like, farming things. There's all kinds of, and there are kids that are taken away because parents don't want to vaccinate them. That's happened too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, this child endangerment thing, the way it's written is so vague that the legislature, you know, is actually looking at, you know, and it was Leah Cushman who introduced this particular bill to essentially reword this. Now, what's going to probably happen is we're going to find out that some whatever this federal incentive is probably not going to qualify now for this particular change. Well, your parasite type, you know, legislatures who really want this, you know, money, you know, coming into the state, because there are a lot of legislatures both on the right and on the left at a state level that all they care is about the state getting more money because they have this, like, belief
and
that
no consequence in it.
Right.
Or maybe they actually are, this is their second job, or, you know, this isn't like, they already are getting, they're going to get pensions because they retired from some government job and then they became a state rep. Sure.
Yeah, so, like all the school teachers who, you know, are depending on that pension that are, claiming they don't make them enough money. And based what I can see, the salary of a school teacher is, like, not that great. This is why they really, you know, push hard on, like, you know, building up the base more all the time. So.
You make a good point there, Bonnie, is that I feel like a lot of these state reps have only run for office to secure their own futures, like in the pension process and maybe, you know, their friends and family and whatever generational, theft that they're doing with their kids doing the same job they were doing and all that jazz.
Yep.
But I really, I feel like if you were, man, imagine if you held a government position, you were never allowed to run for office. That's it.
Right. Yeah. Basically, as far as I'm concerned, you know, if you're taking, you know, welfare of any form, you shouldn't be allowed to vote. If you are working in, if there's any conflict of interest, you work for the government, you shouldn't be allowed to vote.
There
needs to be, like, the people. Government jobs need to be, like, for the kind of people that are like, oh, man, I can't get a job anywhere else, so I guess I'll take this job. But what's become the career choice for a lot of people right out of school, and the schools are all pushing this, is to go right into government.
Yeah.
You know, go be a teacher. You know, go get your doctorate, and you can teach art and get paid $100,000 a year in Massachusetts, because it doesn't matter, you know, what you... you know, what your actual skills are and what you're able to produce and do. It all they care about is how stacked your resume is.
It's like, do you not like people? Here, work for the DMV.
Right.
I feel like the DMV, like, that's always the thing that people give as a example, and they're just absolutely nothing compared to the people I had to deal with that aren't military people, but they work on military bases and they're government contractors.
Kind of like the dispatchers in most police departments.
They're a terrible team.
They're like, oh, I have this position of authority and I'm going to wield all this power. And the reason that they can't be a cop is because they're too psycho.
Yeah.
There was a guy in Palmer years ago.
IQ's too high.
Yeah, he was a dispatcher because he was just. And he was a cop years ago, but, like, he did some, like, kind of crazy stuff that sort of got him, like, removed from being a cop. But he was a dispatcher, and this guy was, like, they ended up having a firearm, but he was, like, out of control. He'd, like, yell and scream at people.
Wow.
And it got to the point to where he was, like, so horrible that, like, the cops, like, wanted him gone.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to a dispatcher, you have to be very accurate because the cops will be showing up on scene to a completely different than what the dispatcher said was happening.
So that part of the job, the guy was actually really good at.
Oh, okay.
But, like,
okay.
Like when I go in there and ask him for some documents, like, start handing these guys public records requests to the dispatcher, I mean, he just wanted to pick a fight with me because he was just, you know, because he just didn't like what I was doing, you know?
Yeah, I just want to say that dispatchers sometimes will believe whatever the caller is saying. So it puts police in a bad position when they show up. Like, they say this guy had a gun. Well, they said that, but did it actually happen?
You could probably relay this story pretty good about Press NH. The dispatcher, said some false stuff that, like, almost could have got him killed.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the one with the...
When he was in Hillsboro and he was going to get his kid and there was some kind of restraining order and the dispatcher is telling the cop that this guy's got a restraining order.
Restraining order. It had been closed off because of, like, the judge has decided, okay, it doesn't need to be active anymore. But that's exactly the thing that popped in my head, too. The order was no longer valid, but the dispatcher told the cop it was, and he was driving around with the lady who was the subject... of the, well, she had gotten the restraining order against him before, but then they, like, made up, went to therapy and stuff like that, and it had been turned, it had been stopped. It wasn't in action anymore, but for whatever reason, the dispatcher said that they still have I don't know how they had this wrong information, but they said the wrong information to the cop, and the cop was getting really argumentative with him, like, you know.
Or, like, it just happened the other day, where he was looking in vehicles at I forget where the government facility was of sorts.
Like in Massachusetts?
Yeah, and they called into the police and said that he was trying to break into vehicles. That's not what he was doing. He was looking in vehicles. They're going to claim that he was breaking into vehicles. Now the cops going to be rushing there, and they're going to be like, you know, wanting to quickly arrest somebody. You know, go hands-on immediately. When you say stuff like that... You know, you got to be careful what you say.
Yep, and I mean, it's not like they're ever going to get any kind of consequences for doing that, so what do they care? Well, moving on, we're talking about this story about a Russian artist who, in March of 2022, put up some kind of stickers over the price tags, or we don't even know if they're stickers or just pieces of paper, in a grocery store, allegedly. They were saying that they didn't want the war going on that started in February of 2022. So this segment gets into what the price tag says. It says, copies of the imitation price tags, which got her into trouble in the first place, remain on display on a website maintained by her supporters, lobbying for her to be freed. So at least her supporters... are claiming these are her, what they said. Apparently, she denies the whole thing, but one of the...
That's kind of funny. So, the supporters say she did it?
Maybe.
Well, I mean, you could have these, you know, agent provocateur supporters.
Right.
You know, that's not hard to do. And especially if it's a website, I'm sure there's, like, an AI program for that by the deep state, you know, to make this happen, or an algorithmic thing, you know.
But if she did do it, I mean, I wouldn't admit it.
She might have just done it and isn't admitting it, but it says one of the tags accused the Russian army of bombing a theater in the port city of Mariupol, where around 400 people were hiding, a charge Moscow said at the time was false. Another alleged that Russia was sending conscripts, so people who were conscripted, so people who were subject of the draft.
Forced into service.
Yep. conscripts to fight in Ukraine, something it has denied. A third cited Russian casualty figures and accused state TV of not talking about them, which I would believe too. And a fourth accused Russian President Putin of lying and spoke of pointless deaths. A fifth tag read, my great-grandfather did not take place in the Great Patriotic War, World War II, for 4 years in order for Russia to become a fascist state and attack Ukraine. The Kremlin has said Ukraine's leadership, not it, is the one with fascist tendencies. It's like both of them. Look at the law you're enforcing. And has said Russia was forced to send troops into Ukraine to protect Russian speakers there and stop the creeping expansion of the NATO military alliance, saying this threatened Russia's national security.
Which I agree with.
I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I don't think you're ever forced into killing innocent people.
Well, so what's been going on since 2014, Ukraine, which is, you know, since it's been like sort of overtaken by Western, you know, influence, Western money, get a lot of U.S. and European, well, a lot of U.S. and NATO munitions and bombs. They've been shelling this, what's called the Luhansk and Donbass region.
Right. And what's shelling?
And shelling is where they shoot, these like surface-to-surface missiles, essentially. And like, so a shell would, if a shell hit this house, it would totally level it. You know, it's a munition that they basically drop it in a thing like a pipe. It just drops and then it's going to charge. In the backside of it, when it hits, it goes up in the air, and they kind of just point this thing, you know, at a certain spot, and they can set, and depending on how, on the angle you point it, and the direction you point it, it'll go so far away, depending on wind, and they can be pretty, they can be, like, sort of accurate, but they can be moved around a lot, so basically, they're just kind of like shooting in the dark, sort of, and then when they hit, they have another, like, charge cap on the front of them. They explode. You know, some of these things, you know, like, are 30, 40, 50 pounds of, you know, some kind of explosive in them. Silver Dave could explain it a lot better. Silver Dave said that these things would, all the time, they were, like, you know, thousands of dollars per round. The device, the, like, the rocket launcher thing that, you know, that they drop them in, they call them mortar rounds also, but more or mortar shells. So the Ukrainians are just shelling this region of Russia. They're going in there and they're harassing people.
Technically Ukraine, right? But these people they voted to be part of Russia. Yep. They speak Russian and they consider themselves Russian. Yep. And that's for some reason why the government in Kiev has been bombing, shelling them.
Right. Right. Wow. And so they've been doing this. So like Russia, the whole idea that Russia unprovokedly attacked Ukraine is 100% BS. It is just, you know, it's just media narrative, that's happening. And since 2014, Ukraine's been, you know, basically bombing these people. And finally, they're like, we want to be part of Russia. We want to be part of Russia. And Russia kind of like came to their help. And then, of course, the United States and all the Western nations have just piled right in to like launder money like crazy. And they also needed to get a whole bunch of munitions and weapons and arms and tanks and Humvees and 4x4 trucks and, you know, stuff to future enemies. So, like, I'm sure the Palestinians are getting a bunch of their stuff kind of slipped through this. And, you know, I'm sure, other countries have gotten, you know, these munitions that have, you know, been sent to Ukraine.
It's kind of a suspicious spot geographically because you can easily get things from, like, Europe into the Middle East there.
It is a really, like, big training spot.
Ports and...
Yeah, just because... I think this, generally, this area is big because it connects Mediterranean with the Indian Ocean. You know, it's a really strategically key spot for all these oil pipelines and everything like that, and just trade. It connects the world right there.
And also you have the, so Zelensky, you know, he's, you know, referred to as a Nazi by some people. And he basically definitely supports the Azov battalion, who those guys are like openly Nazis. They're like into like, you know, they're very like,
homophobic, you know, of like, you better not be gay in Ukraine. You're going to have some serious issues because, you know, you essentially get put in prison or, you know, killed for being gay there, from what I understand.
Wow.
You know, there's, and then, but, you know, media don't talk about that because, you know, the, you know, the narrative machine that, you know, is trying to push to gay, you know, an extremist gay agenda, you know, and, you know, but, you know, they're still supporting, you know, a nation where it's illegal, essentially, to be gay.
And they're acting like it's all about freedom.
Yeah, this whole join or die is just terrible in Ukraine. Like, no, I'm not going to join your fascist regime. I would rather die.
Well,
what's the guy there in Ukraine?
Zelensky
is reported he's begging for loans now because now all the focus is on Palestine and Israel.
I keep seeing headlines that he's upset that people are war fatigued and the United States needs to continue giving him money in the West.
Yeah, well, he must be jelly of Israel.
I hope he burns in hell.
Right. We should go to the phone. Your phone calls and thoughts. Tim in Florida, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, I actually called to follow up on a topic last night, but I actually just wanted to mention, I do not have a source for it, and I can't remember where I heard it, but I believe that Zelensky is actually putting together plans for a peace settlement, peace talks.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the money laundering's done, so, you know, that's all that's left.
And a huge amount of support and interest isn't there anymore because of Israel is probably...
And the whole world is aware of the sham, too. Like I mean, you know... I'm a farmer, and I'm aware of this stuff. You know, how come all the politicians that are supposedly paying attention to this keep on wanting to give them money? Well, because they're all crooked. Because they are all crooked, and we all know it.
And I mean, even before this war, Ukraine was known as like one of the most corrupt governments and countries in the world.
And the most child trafficking happens in Ukraine. Mel Gibson blows this out of the water. If you internet search Mel Gibson and Ukraine child trafficking, it's crazy what he talks about.
Zelensky denies. Wanting to go into peace, by the way.
603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.